Welcome to Vegas Dave's Dive.
Hello everybody, Vegas Dave Consolazio here. Thank you for joining me here on Vegas Dave's Dime. And the thing fresh on everybody's mind today is the stunning come-from-behind victory that the Boston Celtics had over the Los Angeles Lakers in Game 4 of the NBA Championship Series. And it is a pretty stunning one. The Lakers led by 21 points at the end of the first quarter, and the Celtics became the first team in NBA history to overcome a deficit of more than 15 points in the first quarter. And not only 15 points, but in fact 21. It's the largest comeback in the finals since 1971. And the even crazier part about it is the fact that it was in Los Angeles. I mean, it's one thing to make a comeback like that. It's quite another thing to make such a historic comeback on the road. And whether you want to credit the Celtics for a remarkable comeback, or you want to point to the Lakers for a colossal breakdown, either way, it was just a remarkable Game 4. And you'll remember a couple episodes ago, I talked about maybe the Celtics wanting it a little more. And obviously the Celtics left nothing on the court in this game. Down 21 at the end of the first quarter, they didn't let up, they didn't quit playing, they kept going after every single rebound, they kept fighting for everything, and even if put in that situation again 98 times out of 100, they wouldn't have come out on top. Today they did. And it was because they worked for it. And while this probably marks the end of the road for the Lakers, no team has ever come back from a 3-1 deficit in the finals, and they'd have to do so by not only winning Game 5, but winning both Game 6 and Game 7 in Boston. It doesn't mark the end of the Lakers as a contender in the West. With Andrew Bynum coming back next year, keeping the team together, there's no reason why the Lakers couldn't make another run at it. And it reminds me of a book I read by Wayne Gretzky. And he was talking about his 1983 Edmonton Oilers. And this team had so much talent, it was remarkable. And they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals against the New York Islanders. And they were swept. And Gretzky was talking about how he felt after being swept, and said that he couldn't comprehend it. He couldn't comprehend how his team had been swept, considering they felt like they were the better team. And he was walking down the hallway to the locker room, and he passed by the New York Islanders locker room. And he took a look inside, and he saw every single player exhausted. Every single player had ice on some bruise on their body. Every single player was bleeding. Every single player was pushed to the brink. And he said that visual made him realize that's what it takes to be a championship team. And Phil Jackson can preach that all he wants, but you can only learn that from experience. You can only learn that you have to play all 48 minutes. You know, I can talk about how the last 5 minutes of the game are all that matter, but I'm talking about as a fan. I'm talking about as somebody who turns on the game and it's 80-80 with 2 minutes left. I can enjoy that last frantic 2 minutes of the game. I'm not talking about a player. You need to go out there and play with all of your heart for the entire 48 minutes. And I'm not saying the Lakers aren't doing that, but to cough up a 21-point lead at home, I kind of am saying the Lakers aren't doing that. And maybe this is the wake-up experience they need. Maybe to be so close to it, to taste it, and to have it taken away from them, will be that little extra step that they need next year. That little extra piece of motivation. that Phil Jackson can't tell you or Kobe Bryant can't explain to you. Just as a team, maybe you need to feel something like this before you can take that next step from going from an excellent team to a championship team. And I'm going to switch things over to hockey. Today, the awards in the NHL were given out, and Alexander Ovechkin won 4 of the most prestigious awards available. He won the Rocket Richard Trophy, which goes to the player that scores the most goals in the regular season, with 65. He won the Art Ross Trophy, which goes to the player that had the most points, goals, and assists in the regular season, with 112. He won the Hart Trophy for league MVP, not only because of his stats, but because of the fact that he single-handedly earned Washington a playoff spot. And Cristobal Huey played well in goal. They had Alexander Semin, Nick Backstrom, great coaching. It's unfair, of course, in a team sport to say somebody single-handedly did it, but Alexander Ovechkin carried that team on his shoulders. 65 goals doesn't need too much of an explanation. He also won the Lester B. Pearson Award for the player's choice for the most outstanding player. So the players all voted and agreed this guy was the best player in the NHL last year. Alexander Ovechkin is one of the players that can bring the NHL back to splendor. If they can market this guy properly, they can start getting fans back in the NHL. Because you want to talk about giving 110% every shift, this guy hits people, skates his heart out, screams in joy every time he scores a goal. He is just a fireball out there, and he's as talented as anybody else in the league. And the controversial thing I want to say here is, he has the most realistic chance of breaking one of Wayne Gretzky's records as anybody else I've seen in the last few decades. If you take a look at Alexander Ovechkin, he will start his 4th season this upcoming year, just turning 23. And he already has 163 goals through 3 seasons. Wayne Gretzky has 894 goals, 1,963 assists, and 2,857 points. I cannot see his assist or point record ever broken. 100 points in a season is a phenomenal accomplishment, and you'd have to put together 2,800-point seasons to beat Wayne Gretzky. It's just not comprehensible to me that somebody could put together 20 140-point seasons. I just cannot begin to fathom that record ever being broken. Goals, on the other hand, certainly improbable, but not impossible. Ovechkin has 731 goals to go to catch Wayne Gretzky. So he needs to average out to about 50 goals a year for the next 15 years. And obviously, you decline as you get significantly older. We're talking about him continuing to net a lot of goals until he's 38 years old. But is it that much of a stretch? First of all, he hasn't even hit his prime yet. He's only 23. He can actually improve. Second of all, he hasn't actually played with a premier setup man. He's pretty much done it on his own. And if Washington invested in another elite player, like a Joe Thornton, to set up Alexander Ovechkin, he could be that much better. And a 50-goal average over 15 seasons doesn't necessarily mean 50 goals for each of those seasons. If he can score 60 goals 5 times, that leaves him open to score 40 goals five times somewhere down the line. I'm not saying it's going to happen. The third thing to consider is the fact that the game is trying to change to promote more scoring. And I'm not sure how far they'll go with rule changes, but if the game takes a dramatic leap towards making goaltenders' pads smaller or nets bigger, that would make a guy like Alexander Ovechkin, who already feasibly could get to 900 goals, that much more likely to do so. Now, it's incredibly improbable that he actually breaks Wayne Gretzky's goal record. Don't get me wrong. He's also such an intense player, and he throws so many checks and takes so many hits, it's not really realistic to believe that he can play 20 seasons in the NHL without his body wearing down, or without facing some serious injuries and losing time. But it's just kind of fun to think about. If everything fell into place just right, that a player in our generation could take a record from the greatest hockey player of all time. It's just kind of fun to think about. So I guess I'll leave you with that thought. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at vegasdavesdime@gmail.com or just leave your comment here on the page at davesdime.com. Thank you for listening, and have a good one, everybody.